Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Debbie continues to whip along the East Coast. The storm has been downgraded to a tropical depression, but it's still very dangerous. CBS's Christiane Benavides is in North Carolina.
Governor of Virginia has already told folks there that live in low-lying areas, communities in low-lying areas, that there is the threat of potential flooding in the coming days. I think what is most dangerous about this, and what you have to remember, is that long after the storm leaves, there are rivers that start overflowing, and that's when you start to see some of the flooding in some of these communities.
The storm has been deadly, responsible for at least six deaths. Leaders of the U.S., Egypt, and Qatar are jointly demanding that Israel and Hamas return to talks about a ceasefire deal in Gaza. In a statement, they said they would accept, quote, no excuses from any party for further delay. The governor of Texas has issued a new executive order on immigration.
Under this executive order by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, hospitals in the state will be required starting in November to start collecting the information on the immigration status of the patients that they serve in their facilities.
And CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez says they'll be required to disclose healthcare expenses for undocumented immigrants. Vice President Harris continues her push in battleground states with a stop in Detroit today, where she addressed members of the auto workers union.
It's about the collective. It's about understanding no one should ever be made to fight alone.
Yeah. Meanwhile, former President Trump held a news conference from his Mar-a-Lago home where he said he's agreed to three debates all next month. Team USA's men's basketball team with a huge comeback win today. CBS's Wendy Gillette is at the Summer Games in Paris.
Steph Curry and LeBron James lifted Team USA to a tight finish over Serbia, 95-91 in the semifinal. A truly thrilling game after the Americans got little pushback in their other Olympic matchups. Frankie Nunez from Los Angeles was there.
Oh, it was amazing. So awesome to see the Team USA take it to the next level and step up the game to win the game.
The U.S. team was behind by 17 at one point and trailed until the fourth quarter. Next up is the gold medal game against France Saturday.
And then closing ceremonies are on Sunday. Team USA has chosen swimmer Katie Ledecky and rower Nick Mead as its flag bearers to officially pass the torch to Los Angeles, where the next Summer Games will be held 4 years from now. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman says he'll ask for more money in the next state budget. He told a legislative study committee Thursday the state needs to increase its investment in its public universities if they're going to stay competitive. Wisconsin ranks 43rd in the country in supporting four-year schools. Primary election day is Tuesday. There are bilingual ballots for those who need them, Brittany Merlot explains.
In Marathon County, some Spanish-speaking information is given to voters. But if a non-English speaker needs additional assistance to vote, some exceptions can be made. First, they can bring a translator with them, all the way to the polling booth. This person, though, cannot be a boss or an employer. And if you speak Hmong, you can go to the Hmong American Center in Wausau. I'm Brittany Merlot.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers sweep the Braves.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A long game, but an incredible finish. The Brewers beating the Braves in Atlanta today, 16-7, to complete a three-game sweep in Atlanta. During the series, the Brewers outscoring the Braves 34-12. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Just playing good more than one day, you know, like playing consistently pretty good like we did the last few days. That's especially against a team that's as capable of, you know, they've, like us, they've been crushed by injuries.
The crew hitting six home runs in five innings. Next, they head back home and open up a weekend series tomorrow night against the Cincinnati Reds. NFL, Packers getting ready for their game against the Cleveland Browns, their first preseason game, and it'll be without their first-round draft pick, Jordan Morgan.
He had a shoulder. He'll be out for, it's nothing long-term, but he's going to be out probably for a week or so.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. An earlier start time, kickoff 3:25 Saturday afternoon at Cleveland. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some clouds hanging around this evening, then a clearing sky overnight, and a low in the mid-50s. Sunshine and a nice day for tomorrow, highs in the low 70s. More sun for Saturday, warming to the mid-70s for a high, and upper 70s Sunday. It's 69 degrees right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel will talk sports with Dan Schumacher, media with Mark Jacob, and politics with Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Shaw WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, Hitney Cup, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, before we get with our friend Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute, why don't we take a quick listen, Haley, to the governor from the great state of Wisconsin.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Wisconsinites will now be able to save thousands of dollars on energy efficiency upgrades to their homes, thanks to the launch of the new Home Efficiency Rebate Program. Wisconsin is the first state in the nation to launch this new program that will deliver thousands of dollars in rebates to households and multifamily buildings undertaking whole home energy saving improvements. We also announced that Wisconsin received federal approval for our Home Electrification and Appliance Rebate Program application, meaning Wisconsin residents will soon be able to access instant discounts on purchases of efficient electric home appliances and equipment. These programs will go a long way in lowering costs for important energy efficiency and clean energy upgrades for households here in Wisconsin, all while saving folks and families up to $1 billion every year in energy costs and supporting nearly 50,000 jobs. This is proof that we don't have to choose between protecting the environment and economic development and creating jobs. We can, and we're doing both. We have been glad for the tremendous partnership between the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin and Focus on Energy, as well as the leadership of President Biden and the entire Biden-Harris administration to support these and other important clean energy efforts. Building a brighter, stronger, cleaner energy future starts right at home, and I look forward to seeing how these programs will lighten costs for folks and families across the state. Learn more about how to get home energy assessment and taking advantage of rebates to support your home energy projects by going to focusonenergy.com. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Well, hey, we just love our updates from our sister state or cousin state, Wisconsin, and Haley and I were in Eau Claire yesterday, as you all know, that listened to the show, and we could not believe, and we shouldn't say this, but he got an unbelievable response from the crowd. It was just beautiful to hear. He probably got one of the biggest applause next to Walz and Vice President Harris. It was amazing, and it was great to experience, Haley.
Yeah, Governor Evers really does care about people and his constituents of the state of Wisconsin. And yeah, we just thank him for all the great work that he's done.
Hey, we have our friend Robert Lilligren on, and long time no talk, Robert. Lots happened since you've been on the air, and all three of us are wearing the same shirt. I just wanted to...
I like it. Democracy is indigenous. It says vote.
That's right. And that's what we're here to talk a little bit about. But Robert, just amazing. I had to pop up my Governor Walz picture selfie and I, and we were at the Haley and Alex and Wendy. We were all at the governor's media party this last Christmas, and we got pictures there. And yes. We're just stoked. I mean, what... You have a lot different insight or better insight than us, but I just like what the press is talking about and how they're promoting our governor here in Minnesota to the world.
I love it. Yeah. And I love how many people from Minnesota or across the country even, but are fishing out their old photos with Governor Walz and posting them on social media. I just think that really is a visual show of support, right? Of I'm supporting this ticket, and I just couldn't be happier or more thrilled. And I will say this, I was up on the beautiful North Shore of Lake Superior when it was announced that President Biden was, after his brilliant career, stepping aside, making space for a next generation candidate like Harris. And the first thing I thought was, wow, Governor Walz would make a great running mate for Kamala Harris. And I kept promoting this paper. I was like, oh, no way. We're from a blue state that's going for mm-hmm. Harris anyway. We don't bring that many electoral votes. And I just said, nope, that's an image. Walz behind Harris that I think would bring a lot of undecided voters to support the ticket.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of a dum-dum. I was in shock. I had no clue. I didn't think because of the blue state, and I thought Shapiro he has some baggage, and the more we find out about our governor, the more I love him. I did not know. I was interviewed on a national native radio show, and I could have added that his first teaching job was at Pine Ridge.
His first teaching job was in Pine Ridge, you know, so he has long-term authentic relationships with the Native community, as you guys will recall. Governor Walz and Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, our whiter sister, kicked off their campaign, launched it at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, mm-hmm. their very first campaign. I really think that Walz and Flanagan administration have taken an incredible approach to sort of co-governing. And it was even several days before Walz was announced. We saw these kind of bubbles coming out of the Harris campaign. One of them was she was seeking a running mate that had executive experience in the government. So that kind of eliminated, you know, a governor is exactly that, right? Mm-hmm. And then this word popped up in a couple, three places that I saw where she was looking for a governing partner, she said. And that for me so beautifully echoed how Walz and Flanagan would talk about their co-governing relationship when mm-hmm. they were campaigning, when they were in office. And I thought, that's Walz talking through the campaign here. And so I wasn't surprised. I kept moments before, I kept telling my friends, it's him, it's Walz, it's him, I know it's him. And so I'm just thrilled.
Well, it was funny too. Somebody sent me I think it was from X, that there were all these Secret Service cars going to the mansion, which is a few blocks from my house, because they're not in the governor's mansion on Summit. They're in the president's office of the University of Minnesota over here. And I went, oh, wow, that's amazing. And it was just a 3-second video of all these cars, you know, Secret Service cars that look like rolling out there. And I went, oh, wow, could this be?
Right. So as folks from outside Minnesota probably don't know, they're renovating the governor's mansion in St. Paul, right? So he's got a temporary residence. And I saw that footage too popping up on social media. And these days, you just never know. So I didn't retweet that or repost that because I thought, is that going on? Because he's not there, right? So, But I'm sure now we'll see a lot more Secret Service presence around our state.
Well, we were talking a little bit about today when I saw you earlier, we were talking a little bit about no makeup and no teleprompter and no stocks. You know, we didn't talk about that, but that's something that the right wing want to, he has his retirement, teaching retirement, but he was in Congress that helped pass a bill that these congressmen cannot get rich on inside information.
Right. Nope. He's just such an authentic and ethical guy. The joke is he's the only one on the top ticket, party tickets, that isn't wearing makeup, which is hilarious. And he's just decent, right? He's a decent guy, trying to do good for the communities, and he's so authentic. And I can tell the rest of the country is picking up on that very, very quickly.
Well, we got to take a quick break, but I want to talk more about this because there's so much to unwrap and also talk about the great work that Native American Community Development Institute's doing here. And so we got a lot to talk about, Robert.
All right.
We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You may have seen a certain truck in videos being shared on social media. How about the truth? I have yet to see any video of that truck outperforming the Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I've driven Sienna since 2006. They handle the highways great, handle back roads, and handle 3 inches of snow a lot easier than the so-called super truck. Plus, my Sienna Hybrid is super fuel efficient, tows great, has enough room for tons of gear, and doesn't look like it was drawn by a six-year-old. Sienna wins! Test drive the top of its class Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, with Make Voting a Tradition.
Absolutely, and we got an election coming up here, and primary coming up all over the state here, and everyone has to be on red alert or blue alert to vote for our Congress people and our area people. And so there's things happening there that making voting tradition is really helping out on with the bipartisan portion of make voting a tradition. We're really excited. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and that was a mouthful. Sorry, Robert. Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. And you know, the more I hear about our governor, I want to share a story too. I was teaching for 30 years too in St. Paul Public Schools. And in 1999, our governor was teaching and became the first advisor in school in advisory capacity for our GLBT people. And that was way before, and I can tell you that was way before people were talking about it and promoting, and he was ahead of the bar there, and that just gives us a lot of really cool information about where he was at and what he's done prior to like running and like having things come up that you know you're doing because you're running. He was that way.
Right. And I love hearing him tell that story, you know, and I'm sure we'll hear it more on the stump, but it's part of his introduction, right? When he stepped in as a high school teacher, a football coach, and he felt it was important for someone like him to really help lead the efforts to establish a gay straight alliance in their pretty rural high school at the time. And I just think that's very thoughtful and indicative of the kind of caring person that he is. And I was old already in 1999, but I can imagine if I was a high school age kid in one of those schools, what that would have meant to me as mm-hmm. a two-spirit person to see that person, that guy step in.
Yeah, we're talking too. And I remember really the important message that I got when they announced their candidacy at the Indian Center in Minneapolis. Right. Was that the lieutenant governor was his teacher, and they've always been partners in a sense, but also just showing up. You were sharing with me that they were showing up and they were kind of green behind the ears and excited to be there and learn.
Yeah, a little bit. And so our lieutenant governor, Peggy Flanagan, White Earth Ojibwe Nation, and she was just a young, brilliant politician, right? She got elected to her first office in 2004 at the Minneapolis School Board, went on to be a legislator, and then lieutenant governor. And early on, she had a close relationship and affinity with the late, great Senator Paul Wellstone, and yeah. She went to work for Wellstone Action, which is a training institute that helped prepare people to organize and work on campaigns and be candidates. And Governor Waltz was her student at Wellstone Action. And during my time on city council, I served with at least two people that were in that same class. And I know there are more established elected officials that were in that class. And I think that just says a lot about our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan and not just her political smarts, but her ability to pass on, to transfer what she knows to other people. And so that's thrilling. And I'll never forget the first time I saw now vice presidential candidate Waltz, Governor Waltz, and he was running for the Congress in District yeah. 1, a deeply red and rural district within the state of Minnesota as a Democrat. I remember even when he was doing his feasibility about running, you know, his name was kind of percolating up around me, and then he declared his candidacy. I think by this time he had our party endorsement, but he showed up at kind of a ritzy, fancy LGBTQ event in Minneapolis, and he and his wife Gwen must have driven, you know, through. It was a hot day, I remember, and I saw him from across the room right after he walked in, and I'm like, oh, that's that Tim Waltz. He has a chance to turn that district blue. So I just ran right over and introduced myself to him, and I've just followed his career with such interest and always been so impressed with every public position that he's taken.
Yeah, well, and you said earlier how much he's going to. I saw T-shirts in Eau Claire where Haley and I were that this white man's for, you know, voting for Harris and Walls and fun stuff like that. And, you know, there hasn't been a congressperson in Mankato that was Democrat for, I want to say, the 1880s. I might be, you know how I exaggerate, Robert.
It's something like that, though, Robert, and he's only the second one. In wow. that district, right? Ever. So that is saying something. And then was it yesterday? We're sitting out at, you know, out in front of the Powell Grounds coffee shop and enjoying the beautiful weather here and working. I mean, that's kind of our work in interacting with people walking by. And this delightful man who works for Project Approved volunteers for a local nonprofit that does workforce training and things. And he just stopped to engage us and asked how he could better engage the Native community and get them into some of their programs. But anyway, we were chatting, and this guy kind of looked like Governor Waltz. So finally I said to him, I said, you know, you bear an uncanny resemblance to Governor Waltz. I go, you could be his body double or something. He goes, oh, I'm aware. he said, and you know, and he said he loves how Governor Waltz will show up somewhere in a t-shirt and a cap, you know, a baseball cap, because that's what I wear all the time. And he said, my wife is always saying, oh, you got to get rid of that base, that t-shirt and that baseball cap. And he said, now I can point to Governor Waltz and go, look, see, you know, Governor Waltz wears this same thing. And to me, that just clicked kind of with what you just said, which was now t-shirt wearing, cap wearing, older white guys have someone they can relate to on the ticket.
That's a good one. It's funny. Haley, I think you tried to get one of those camouflage hats and it's sold out, right?
Yeah, they were having people pre-order them on the Harris Walls website. The camo hat with the blaze orange writing on the top of the trucker hat that says Walls or Harris Walls. And I was like, wow, we haven't really seen any Democratic candidate bring back the camo and kind of the presidential flag. It's kind of like we're taking it back.
Right on. Good point.
It reminds me of the first Obama campaign, right, back in 2008. And I was a delegate to the national convention then, which was beautiful and profound and historic. And I got tons of excellent Obama bling, you know, across the board. I've given most of it away since then, but I've saved a few. Maybe I'll dig them out for this campaign. But there was some pretty cool bling going there. I've seen those camo hats. I think they look super intriguing. I hope to pick one up sometime throughout the campaign.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got a few more minutes here, and I'd like to swing back to your work and on the Avenue and what's happening. I just got a chance to go into the gallery and oh my gosh, beautiful. And I know Haley was there for the pre-opening and
right.
It's just, you guys keep on hitting it out of the park.
You know, and all credit to Angela Two Stars, the director of our gallery and renowned public artist, and she can just pick them, man. And so it's a solo show. The artist's name is Jen White. She's Sioux Falls based, self-taught, and she's got these images that Haley uses. You've all seen them. You know, they're just kind of haunting, you know, and they tend to be feminine images, and it's really something. And I couldn't make the pre-opening, which is kind of a media and donor opening that Haley was at, but the opening night was incredible. And it was, we had a great kind of girl punk band, and we had Trickster Tacos, and we were able to sit outside because the weather was so beautiful, and this impressive show. And it was, Haley's too young to remember this term, but Robert will get it. It reminded me of sort of from the 60s, a happening.
You know,
happenings, and it was so cool.
Yeah, definitely. Haley, you were there. Amazing, and got to talk to the artist too.
Oh yeah, Jennifer White is amazing and just completely so authentic. She's so fun to talk to, and she just is really, you know, proud but also humble about her work. And she's self-taught, and you know, it really takes true talent, creator-given talent, to do what she does. So I just applaud her. And everyone should go check that exhibit out.
I agree. And well put, Haley. And I can't remember the date. It's in September. We usually have an artist talk or some kind of artist engagement event. And she'll be doing live painting at that event. And that's one of the things that she does a lot. And I agree with you, Haley. She's so authentic, a little irreverent. And which I love. She gave me a nickname, which I'm not going to share on the air. But when I see her in person sometime, I'll share it with you. But her irreverence is refreshing.
Awesome. Then, of course, today we still have the Four Sisters Market, which was just beautiful. And Annie Humphrey was there. And she has, I want to say a clean voice. It's so clear, and it was such a beautiful day, and to listen to that music.
Yeah, it was kind of a little happening as well at the Four Sisters Farmers Market on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Annie Humphrey was incredible. I was really surprised that we were able to secure to perform at the market. But I love what you said about the clarity of your voice, because it's clear to hear, but her message is clear too.
Right.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. CBS News Brief. Tropical Storm Debbie is pounding the Carolinas, which has put a huge damper on those visiting Wrightsville Beach. This man is taking it all in stride.
Not exactly the ideal week we had planned, but like I say, we're here making the most of it. A little family vacation.
Texas governor has issued an executive order requiring hospitals to disclose patients' immigration status. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez says it's intended to
better understand how much it is costing the state to provide medical assistance and emergency care to migrants who recently crossed the U.S.-Mexico border and others who are in the country illegally.
Right after American sprinter Noah Lyles won a bronze medal today, he disclosed he tested positive for COVID. CBS's Dana Jacobson.
He believes this will be the end of his 2024 Olympics, not the Olympics he dreamed of, but it's left me with so much joy in my heart.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans are moving ahead to replace the Wisconsin Veterans Museum in downtown Madison. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
The state has approved plans to buy the current Wisconsin Veterans Museum building on the square for $9 million. The state would essentially be buying it for the property because the plan is to demolish that building. In its place, they'd construct a state-of-the-art five-story new Veterans Museum. This is just step one of that plan. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Dates for next year's Summerfest in Milwaukee are set. The big gig will be Thursdays through Saturdays from June 19th through July 5th. It'll be the 57th edition of Summerfest. Thanks to a new partnership with the Northcott Neighborhood House, Juneteenth programming will be offered for the first time. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwaba. Three Taylor Swift shows were canceled due to a terrorist attack threat. The Associated Press reports that authorities in Vienna, Austria, apprehended two men, one of them the 19-year-old ringleader. The canceled shows were for August 8th, 9th, and 10th, and those with tickets will get a full refund. Reps for Taylor Swift have not commented yet on the incident. The Swift Eras Tour has spanned 145 shows in five continents. It started in 2023 and is scheduled to end in Vancouver in December. There is drama on the set of the new Bridget Jones film. The shooting schedule was disrupted by bats. Experts say their habitat was disrupted by the filming in Keswick, Cumbria. That was almost enough to distract fans from the fact that Colin Firth's character, Mark Darcy, is returning for the fourth installment of the franchise. Apparently, Firth's return has been planned for a while, but they were hoping to keep it a secret. Bridget Jones' Mad About the Boy is expected in theaters in February of 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some clouds hanging around this evening, then a clearing sky overnight, and a low in the mid-50s. Sunshine and a nice day for tomorrow, highs in the low 70s. More sun for Saturday, warming to the mid-70s for a high, and upper 70s Sunday. It's 69 degrees right now.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin CHAIRS Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for child care by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show this Friday. We air the grievances. Presidential debate, they both accepted. Harris v. Trump, we'll talk about it.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Haley, we got the election coming up here, the primary next week on the 13th. I just wanted to mention that. And there's some major primary races, including Ilhan Omar versus Don Samuels to represent the Democratic Party in the Minnesota 5th Congressional District, and Royce White and Joe Frazier to represent the Republican nominees for Minnesota State Senator. Everyone get out and vote. We talk about voting, and primaries are important too, because that's who you send to the next, the real election, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't know who's on your ballot, you can go to myballotmn.sos.state.mn.us.
Yeah. I just had to pop in my area code and bingo, I found out who was there. And I have some people to vote for here in Minnesota, like Betty, or in St. Paul, like Betty McCollin, who's a huge Native advocate for us all these years. So it was great to talk about that and be able to vote for her. But hey, we are really excited to have Josie on. Josie is a friend of ours, and Josie Hoffman is an artist, teacher, and emerging curator. And I want to find out more what you do, Josie. So welcome to a Native Roots Radio.
Hey, bonjour. Maingan and Dodem, Gichionigamming and Dunjuba, Kakapikan Ninda. Hey everyone, I'm Josie. I'm an artist, a multidisciplinary visual and movement based artist. I'm also a teaching artist and emerging curator. I do visual arts, performing arts. I'm an aerialist, so I do. Familiar with the Cirque du Soleil kind of stuff. I do. I like to call them flippy flips, though. so I do aerial silks. Yeah, and I graduated college in 2020 from Minneapolis College of Art and Design, and I've been doing art-related work and teaching artist work since then. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Talk a little bit about your aerial work, because I know you go and present that and also teach that, and have talk about that and how people can see your work and also participate.
Yeah, so I do a variety of things with that work. I practice several times a week at a couple studios in Northeast, Stomping Ground Studio and Phoenix Flight Studio. I teach at both studios. I teach a couple weekly classes, so people are welcome to take my classes there. I do performances here and there with a variety of community partners. I was just with Minnesota Native Artists Alliance for Art A Whirl and was performing a piece that I did, a piece that I really love because I grew up powwow dancing, so I kind of made this powwow to aerial piece. So I got to perform that with the community during Art A Whirl with Minnesota Native Artists Alliance. Yeah, and I do pop-up workshops. I was just at Little Earth for National Night Out and teaching the kids there how to do aerial, and that was a lot of fun. We've got a kids camp going on at Stomping Ground that I was also doing this week. And working on a doubles performance with another aerialist that we plan on performing in the fall Stomping Ground showcase. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is there an example that people that are listening all over Turtle Island here can see your work and maybe book you as an artist to come in and do your thing?
Yeah. So I guess Instagram is probably the best way to find me or my link tree. But you can find that link to my Instagram, which is Josie, spelled J-O-Z-I-I, underscore Wabizi, W-A-A-B-I-Z-I-I. So that would be the best way to contact me. And I'm, you can see my stuff on Instagram. Check out what else I'm doing through my link tree that's connected to my Instagram. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exciting. And one of the things, do you perform your aerial stuff with music in the background? Or how does, and you kind of go to the music? You were saying that you were kind of doing a representation of powwow up in the air doing things.
Yeah, so I do a variety of things. The one that I was doing a powwow song to, I've been working really hard on choreographing that and connecting. Because I grew up fancy shawl dancing. So I was thinking a lot about those fancy shawl movements when I was doing, as I call them, flippy flips in the air. So I was thinking about that, but that was a choreographed piece. I also do other choreographed pieces. Sometimes I pick a song, choreograph from there. Other times I'm also doing what us aerialists kind of like to call ambient aerial. So sometimes I'll get hired to just kind of be a person in the background of an event and just kind of flow around with whatever the DJ is playing and just kind of show my tricks. So, but it's usually the, when I do my choreography that I put a lot of love into that stuff. I mean, I put a lot of love into it in general, but that's the stuff I get.
That's awesome. And I know too, we talk about interdisciplinary and I know you do murals. I've seen your beadwork at galleries. Let's talk a little bit about how you got started doing your beadwork.
Yeah, well, my grandma was the first person to teach me how to bead when I was a little kid. I'd always go back to Grand Portage to visit her. I grew up in Wahpeton, North Dakota, but I'd always go visit my grandma in Grand Portage. And she was the one who originally taught me how to bead. And for a while, I was doing more drawing and painting stuff, especially through school, some sculpture too. And then it was after I graduated, I was doing some side work for Maggie Thompson at Maqua Studio, and we were working on one of her really big, amazing beading projects, and she just kind of like pushed me to like bead more, and so I've just been beading more and more since then, which is nice to kind of spend more time with that textiles because I really love that and I miss that. So,
well, yeah. There's a prayer in every I don't know if it's a stroke, but every bead.
Yeah, yes, definitely. And especially when I'm beading, it's hard not to think about my grandma and just the love that she shared and teaching that. She was a beading teacher. She taught a lot of people in Grand Portage to bead. And now I'm kind of sharing that as well with folks. So,
yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I know you have some murals around the cities too. Talk about your art there. That's very cool. Put it on pen to paper and then copy it, or do you free? How do you do your murals, and where are they?
Well, it kind of depends what the project is. I've got a couple murals at Arts and Rec in Uptown. That was, I had a couple ideas in mind and just put some drawings up. One was more abstract and I was just going with it. And the other one was more plan, where I was doing florals. And they're both facing each other. So if you check out Arts and Rec in Uptown, I got that. A couple other murals I've done have been in collaboration with Native Youth Arts Collective.
Cool.
So one of them was a street mural. Well, we did a couple, actually. The one that I led was Sweet Grass Braids that went across Ogama Place at Little Earth. That one is pretty worn out now from just cars driving over it, but we're actually in the works of doing some more and kind of bringing it back. We're going to, Native Youth Arts Collective at Little Earth has a whole bunch of art stuff planned and kind of beautifying Little Earth. That's in the works. What else? We've been in collaboration with McGizzy working on some murals there.
Cool.
What else have I done? I've also helped in restoration of a pretty at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, George Morrison's mural, the big cedar mural. So I was hired on with the Indian Center and Minnesota Arts Conservation Center. And we went through a whole restoration process when the Indian Center was doing their remodel. So,
wow. Hey, Josie, if anybody wants to see your work, that's give that out one more time before we let you go. We really appreciate and we love, promoting and talking to our new artists and newer artists and young artists here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, where my link tree is also connected to. And my Instagram handle is Josie, but spelled J-O-Z-I-I _ Wabazi. WAABIZII.
So great to see you, and a big Pini Gigi for coming on, and we're gonna have to do this again real soon.
Yeah, me Gwitch. Great to see you, Robert.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Hey, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio here to tell you about the best window contractor in Minnesota, 952 Windows. Here's why I trust them in my home projects. 952 Windows is a part of Loyal Home, founded by former window light workers known for their ethics and quality. It's a top-notch remodeling company that's been flying under the radar for too long. They've even sold to competitors' employees who want top-tier quality for their homes. For the best in windows and doors, have 952 Windows take care of your next project. They offer the longest warranties, and we're rated Energy Star's most efficient in windows and doors. Believe me, I've known the owner for decades, so I can vouch for their excellence. They're not just about windows either. They're your go-to for roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more. Plus, they've got you covered on Onyx Bath and Rosebud cabinets. Trust me, you won't regret giving them a call at 952-WINDOWS or 952windows.com.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers, or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? How is it that when we howl, my howl's higher than yours?
That's a great question.
We'll have to talk about that in our next program meeting.
Yes.
Hey, a lot going on. That was great to have Josie on too. I always love amplifying young artists and that are in the community. We see her everywhere, whether she's dancing at a powwow or, you know, her aerial stuff and then art in the gallery. So thank you, Haley, for getting Josie on. It's great to amplify our young ones or younger ones. I guess everyone's younger than me.
True. You're kind of like the baby elder. So yeah. But yeah, Josie's great. She's, you know, one of the friendliest faces I've seen in community. And that aerial work, I mean, that takes a true athlete. I've never tried, but I've always kind of seen those videos of you know, accidents, people falling down. It's got to take so much strength and core work to be able to do those moves up. I don't even know what you would call it, like the fabric that keeps them up in the air that they hang on.
Right, like a bed sheet.
Yeah, it's probably got a very specific name, but yeah.
Right. Well, heck, you know, I've always threatened Josie to come and do one. And I said, no, I don't want to like separate my back from my hip or anything like that. So because it does take a lot of upper body strength. And like you said, core, in which I have neither anymore.
Well, you know, some people just don't, you know, it's hard to get going into those exercises. But yeah, I know Josie is also going to be curating a show, I believe, at All My Relations in this fall. So that'll be fun. We'll definitely have to go check out that exhibit. But going back to All My Relations Arts Gallery right now, talking about Jennifer White's exhibit, a Ricara proper, that is a solo exhibition at NACD's All My Relations Gallery. And Robert Lilligren mentioned earlier in the show that she will be doing some live painting at her artist talk probably next month. I'd have to look at the date for that. But she was talking to me that one of her largest paintings that she has made, she can do in just like a few hours or just like a day. And that was really surprising to me.
Yeah. Well, you're an artist too. And I think we get you some big canvas and give you a couple hours and see how you do. And then send you over to Josie's classes and work on your upper body strength. And hey, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Then you'll be ready to host the show.
Yeah. Exercise and a creative outlet. Those are perfect. I think everyone needs those.
Well, what I like about you is you're really into the environment and you go around a lot. I see your posts. You're at beautiful, serene places and they're all over the Twin Cities and it's good to see and that taking yourself back and finding serenity. That's where it's all about. And it took me many years to figure that out. So you're way ahead, Jujunk.
Oh, well, thank you, Pina Gigi. But yeah, I think, you know, taking care of ourselves, you know, that may look different for a lot of people, but really it's so important for us as humans and as Native people to get out in nature and connect with Mother Earth and Father Sky and just be out there, which I'm excited to do this weekend. I might be going to Itasca State Park. And
nice.
Yeah, just excited to get out there. I know tomorrow is World's Indigenous Peoples Day.
Right.
And that's something we want to talk about. Indigenous people make up approximately 6.2% of the world's population, and yet they protect 80% of the world's biodiversity. So this is a post here from Owamni Yamni, which used to be, I believe, Friends of the Falls right here in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Good
call. Yes.
Their post, they yet continue to face ongoing oppression and marginalization as Native people, including eviction from their ancestral homelands, restricted access to healthcare and education, and much more. To gain a better understanding of the importance of World's Indigenous Peoples Day, you can go to their Instagram page, Owamni Yamni, Owamniyomni.
Wow. That's a beautiful, and I'm glad we're bringing that up too, because we're going to have a guest on soon. Yeah. That's from Australia, and talking about a lot of things, but also talking about all of us here. She's here studying from Australia about our creation story, which, you know, we're from Earth and Sky, and we're from the cosmos. And I talked to her, and she has, she can prove it, that that's what, where we're from. So it's really interesting to see it from, I don't want to say an outsider, but somebody outsider out of here that's not living in this continent, to be able to explain our story, our creation stories, in a scientific way.
Right, right. Yeah, I feel like a lot of different tribes or sovereign nations have kind of their own little unique story of how they were created. But, you know, the stories all kind of align in similarities, and, you know, they have their differences, but, you know, we are star people, and that is, you know,
well, Haley,
comes across all the stories.
The thing that I always like to talk about this is because I think people in general, because they don't know our history, want to say that we came over from, you know, Alaska, you know, when the bridge was there. And it's like, no, we came from here. So I think people try and tell that story, which is incorrect, about us coming over the bridge and coming here, is so incorrect, and it makes them feel better about stealing our land.
Right.
Because they want to make it seem like we're not from here either, but we
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think that the Ho-Chunk.
Did I make sense saying that?
I understood you. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Well, the Ho-Chunk story.
I didn't want to start the show all over again, but thank you. Okay. Oh wait, this is live.
Yeah. Well, isn't the Ho-Chunk origination story kind of off of the Green Bay coast of the Great Lake there?
Yeah. And Dejob, which is Madison, we came from the red clay, and that makes a lot of sense, especially how this person we're going to have as a guest, and somebody from Australia here in a couple of weeks, talking about this. It's an amazing scientific fact that they'll be talking about, that really brings that home from the stars.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to hear their take on that, and how it aligns with the stories that we hear from our tribal communities.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, they're not written down. We didn't write things down, but we have a deep oral history. And so it's good to see, again, science matching with our histories. And it's very cool. Well, we were at the farmer's market today, which was awesome. Perfect day. And we got a picture with a bunch of Ho-Chunks there, some young ones there that we're really proud of, that are really stepping up. A couple guys that we ran into, along with a couple other girls that are Ho-Chunk and that are doing their thing with Dream of Wild Health.
Yeah, Dream of Wild Health is such an amazing organization, and they contribute so much to our communities, and with their gardens and with their knowledge of healthy native cuisines, as well as sharing recipes. So it makes it easier for folks to kind of include that in their everyday diet.
Absolutely. Hey, and you know what? Really shocked here, Haley, but Shakopee Powwow is coming up next week.
It is.
And then the state fair, and
yep.
I'm not prepared. I'm not ready.
Well, let's get ready, because it's going to be a fun time.
Right on. Hey, Big Peeny Geegee, for a great show again. Haley, I just want to end the show with a couple thoughts. You know, we are from Earth and stuff.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Nepo baby adjacent Lara Trump shares her thoughts on Kamala Harris's qualifications to be president. Oh, don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.